there's power in the covenant. The Lord understands that. And by making the covenant, you receive that power to not only help you keep the covenant, but receive the power to be able to renew the covenant, come back to the covenant, repent and forsake, try again, endure to the end, which means just doing it all over again.
We are Saints in the South, your source for gospel growth and good times. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Saints in the South, episode 221. Good to be back with you. As Mr. Kenny puts his patriotic hat on to match my patriotic hat, and Mr. Rogue Bishop, he's missing out.
He just exudes patriotism. He doesn't
need that. Yeah, he doesn't have to wear the colors or any symbolism or anything like that. He is patriotism in and of himself. That's right. Well, how are y'all doing?
Good. It's been a great week so far. I think Kenny was talking to us earlier about something about not liking being in the real world and stuff. But
yeah. My wife and I just got back from a cruise, and we went to Cozumel, Mexico. We took our first Royal Caribbean cruise on the Grandeur of the Seas. And, man, for those of y'all who have not ever been on a cruise, man, I highly recommend it. It's the best way. It's the only way I want a vacation now. You just get on the boat and you do whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do it. No stress. None of this buying plane tickets and then rental cars and hotels and all the other. You just get on the boat and everything is there.
Wow.
Everything.
Yeah, I haven't done a cruise yet. Michael, have you?
Yes, I'm not a cruiseaholic like Kenny is, but yes, I have been on several cruises. I don't have an addiction to them, but I do like them. They are nice. I also like all inclusives. If you can go down to, South America or whatever and get one of those all-inclusive resorts, those are really nice too.
I've never done that. Very good, very good. Well, we will excuse Average Joe this evening. He is not on a cruise. He's actually working on his automobile, having to do some mechanics and everything right now. So, y'all wish him luck on that.
Average Joe's been an average mechanic.
That's right. Well, hey, I've got something kind of cool to share with y'all. So my brother-in-law, he operates and owns a machine shop. And so I asked him to do something for me. And so he did. So I was going to share that with y'all here.
Holy shnikes, look at that.
What?
That is awesome.
That is cool. So that's the same logo that Lauren made for us, but in metal. I like it.
Yeah, it just fell. Yep. So he had it cut out on a CNC machine there, and had it powder coated and sanded down and all that good stuff. So
that is super cool.
Yeah. Just kind of messing around there a little bit. So
nice,
legit.
Man, we're living into the striving mentality.
That's right.
All right, well, y'all ready to get this come follow me discussion started?
Let's do it, man. Let's talk about some scriptures.
All right, here we go. Mosiah chapters 18 through 24. We have entered into a covenant with him. The account of Alma and his people in Mosiah shows what it means to come into the fold of God. When Alma's people were baptized, they made a covenant with God to serve him and keep his commandments. While this was a personal commitment with God, it also had to do with how they treated one another. Yes, the journey back to Heavenly Father is individual, and no one can keep our covenants for us. But that doesn't mean we are alone. We need each other. As members of Christ's church, we covenant to serve God by helping and serving one another along the way, bearing one another's burdens. Alma's people definitely had burdens to bear, just as we all do. And one way the Lord helps us bear up our burdens with ease is by giving us a community of saints who have promised to mourn with us and comfort us, just as we have promised to do for them.
Amen.
And yep. So with that, I think Kenny was going to get us started.
Yeah, that was the intro is really kind of what stood out to me. The importance of forming a church, and especially in Mosiah 18 verse 25 says, "And there was one day in every week that was set apart that they should gather themselves together to teach the people and to worship the Lord their God, and also as often as it was in their power to assemble themselves together." And this really stands out to me because there are a lot of people today who are what they might call themselves spiritual, but not religious, or people who, you know, don't feel a need for organized religion. You know, they say, "I don't need to go to church. I can, you know, I can pray myself and I can read my Bible and things like that." But it reminded me of a story I heard many years ago. This was originally a story told by Dr. John MacArthur, a Protestant minister. It's called The Lonely Ember. And it goes a little something like this. A member of a certain church who previously had been attending services regularly stopped going. After a few weeks, the pastor decided to visit him. It was a chilly evening. The pastor found the man at home alone, sitting before a blazing fire. Guessing the reason for his pastor's visit, the man welcomed him, led him to the big chair near the fireplace, and waited. The pastor made himself comfortable but said nothing. In the grave silence, he contemplated the play of the flames around the burning logs. After some minutes, the pastor took the fire tongs, carefully picked up a brightly burning ember, and placed it to one side of the hearth all alone. Then he sat back in his chair, still silent. The host watched all this in quiet fascination. As the one lone ember's flame diminished, there was a momentary glow, and then its fire was no more. Soon it was cold and dead as a doornail. Not a word had been spoken since the initial greeting. Just before the pastor was ready to leave, he picked up the cold, dead ember and placed it back in the middle of the fire. Immediately it began to glow once more with the light and warmth of the burning coals around it. As the pastor reached the door to leave, his host said, "Thank you so much for your visit, and especially for the fiery sermon. I shall be back in church next Sunday."
The fiery sermon. That's good.
Yeah. And I really like that story because it's, I think, a very good illustration of the need for us to gather together, because we do support each other. We love each other. We support each other. We help each other. And it is true. While it is true that you can pray alone at home and you can read your scriptures and all that, there is no substitute for the saints gathering together to worship together and to support each other and to help each other. And this is really something that was really important, obviously, here that we read about in the book of Mosiah, and something that we know is important today, the importance of having an organized church where people gather together.
For sure.
That's one thing that that government and kings and those that wish ill will and that seek power, they realize that there is strength in that, strength in number, strength in gathering. It's interesting. I don't know the laws and everything, but after COVID-19 and all the shutdown and everything and preventing people from literally gathering for church, you know, we're talking about church. Elder Bednar, Quorum of the 12 Apostles, he talks about this, and he talks about how government overreached its powers in enforcing people or taking away that ability to gather. He basically says that, you know, that we should be very wary of that and should not allow the government to do that, and how critical it is to be able to have that ability and power to be able to gather together. When they keep us separate, evil leaders keep us separated, then they take power away from us. So
I said that was a powerful message.
Yes. Yeah.
In many words in that message, it's powerful.
Yeah, he did not. And not only is it necessary and important to strengthen ourselves spiritually and mingling with one with another, but also as a collective, it helps retain and keep power in the people, so to speak. So very, very important principle to be able to gather.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I've said it many times before, and I'll say it again. We all need each other. Anyone that thinks that they can do it alone or go it alone is really fooling themselves. You know, that you guys have heard me tell the story over again when I thought I didn't need anybody else when my kids were teenagers and I was pretty cool with all the kids and, you know, all the other teens and never had any problems. And but when it was my own, you know, and I've seen other families go through the same thing, man, they need to hear a different voice. And other than that familiar voice, they need to hear the unfamiliar voice. And it would behoove us that we encourage that by letting them hear the unfamiliar voices at church rather than someplace else. You know, so we really do need each other. And it's just amazing to me, you know, anyone that's actually watched or been around a fire is... people are like a fire. I mean, to me, it's just amazing when it doesn't matter what coal you separate. Every time you separate the coals or the logs or whatever, they start to fizzle out and die, but you put them all back together and it comes alive again. But it really resonates with me because people are the same way. As we separate ourselves, you know, a lot of fire could diminish and we might not even be aware of it. But together, I don't know, you just become greater together. You know, a fire is better when it's all together, and we're better when we're all together. And when we're all mingling at church, we're just edifying each other. And there's many times I'll go and hear a talk or someone's testimony and they may not think twice about it, you know, but it really resonated with me. It really helped with me. And I was like super glad I went that day to hear that. We're here to strengthen each other and help each other. And I guess the biggest thing I want to say is that if we refuse to let others help us, I think we're committing two sins. One, we're denying them the blessings of being able to help because the Lord probably sent them to help. And two, we're denying the help that the Lord sent for us to get, right? And so I get, you know, there's a fine line between pride and between self-sustainment, right? Doing things on your own, being self-sustained, being able to rely on yourself, relying on, you know, your means and your family, and not having, being a burden on others. There's a fine line between that and being prideful, and that I think those that love work and love to take care of their families find it the hardest to receive help. And you know, it's something that when I was growing up, I used to hear my dad say all the time when he would try to help someone, when someone would be, you know, prideful or, you know, refusing help or whatever, he'd say, "Hey, stop denying the blessings the Lord's trying to give me. You're standing in the way of the blessings the Lord's trying to give me." For some reason, for my dad, that worked, right? And that, okay, whatever, fine, help me.
You know, I had an experience years ago. I was in my early 20s. A guy had a dead battery. This older black gentleman. And I noticed, you know, having problems, and I had jumper cables in my car. I said, hey, man, you need a jump? And he said, yeah. And he said, it's funny because it was just one of those moments that stood out in my mind. He said, I'm gonna let you help me, and so we'll both get a blessing. You help me, and I'll get the help, and we'll both get a blessing out of it. I said, all right, man.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
That's right.
That's funny.
You know, another big blessing that we receive is the covenants that we make, and this part of Come Follow Me, this particular lesson is just chock full of covenants, and just talks about covenants over and over again. If this is the desire of your heart, then why not be baptized? Why not enter into a covenant with the Lord? You know, and it was just it's a reminder of how important covenants are. And I know I've given this definition before as well. I like the fact that covenants are different than contracts. You know, you break a contract and it's done. It's null and void. You know, people go to court over contracts, but a covenant, man, it's repairable. And then that's what repentance is. You know, what we try to do is use something called Google Docs, and we put in there what we're wanting to talk about. And there's only one of us that wears a USA hat that's red, that's really, you know, good about going in there and putting stuff in there all the time. And the rest of us, man, we just keep repenting over and over again. I mean, it's like we have a desire to do it and then we don't. So we're repenting again. And I'm like, you know what? That's just like sin. I mean, we, you know, just because you commit the same sin over again, or just because you're struggling with the same whatever it is, it doesn't mean that you didn't repent the first time, and it doesn't mean that you're not repentant. It means you're mortal, and you just forgot to put your stuff in Google Docs, and you just need to, like, you know, try again. That's all it is, you know. So,
great analogy. Great analogy.
Yep.
But the covenants are incredible, and I remember a talk by President Nelson. He said, not only are we renewing covenants, we're making new covenants. And then that talk by Elder Renlund, when he says the very next ordinance that we need every time something happens is a sacrament. When something good happens, it's a sacrament. When something bad happens, it's a sacrament. Whatever it is, the very next ordinance that we need all the time is the sacrament, because that's what helps us renew and make new covenants and start the process all over again of repenting and being baptized and receiving the Holy Ghost and having faith. It starts that all over again. And I love the fact that the Lord gives us covenants, because there's actually power in those covenants. It can be scary to make a covenant with the Lord saying, yeah, I'm going to remember you all the time and I'm going to obey your commandments. In the back of our head, we're thinking, man, I don't know. I know me. I'm going to mess up. I know that no matter how bad I want to, I'm going to forget to put something in Google Docs again. And so you're kind of hesitant about making that covenant, but there's power in the covenant. The Lord understands that. And by making the covenant, you receive that power to not only help you keep the covenant, but receive the power to be able to renew the covenant, come back to the covenant, repent and forsake, try again, endure to the end, which means just doing it all over again. And so don't forget that as we're making covenants, there's actually power in making those covenants to help us make the covenants and keep the covenants. I think sometimes we forget that it's not all on us. A covenant isn't all on us. A covenant is a partnership with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which we all dearly need.
I like that. So, in speaking of your covenants, I'm going to read one here from Mosiah 18, and then kind of go back to the first one there that you talked about, verse 27. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, everyone according to that which he had. If he have more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. And of him that had but little should be required. And to him that had not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance of their own free will and good desires toward God and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul. And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God, and they did walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another both temporally and spiritually according to their needs and their wants. So getting back to what y'all are talking about, being willing to give of the substances of the financial means that you have. And then the requirement on the other side, the requirement to accept those offerings and assistance and everything. Right. So, you know, with my job change and transition and everything, I've had a few people offer, you know, Mr. Rogue Bishop being one of them, saying, hey, if you ever need anything, okay, during this transition, let me know. All right. You know, and I said, well, thank you. I appreciate that very much. I said, the question is how far do you let it go before you do offer or, accept some assistance? Do you get into $1,000 credit card debt, $10,000 credit card debt? What's the answer on that? When do you accept? Do you accept every time somebody offers? Even if let's say you need a little bit, but you still want to, you know, I want to make it on my own. I want to do all this myself. Where's that line at?
That's a hard line to find. It's a hard balance because most people, I feel like, err to one extreme or the other. Give me, hey man, I need help.
And they won't do anything on their own.
No, yeah, exactly.
They're going to sit on their couch, grab the remote, flick it at the TV or whatever, and say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to bring me a job.
Yep.
And you have the other extreme that'll empty out a 401k and all of their stocks and go $20,000 into credit card debt and say, well, I guess I finally need help now. And I would pull my hair out. As a bishop, I would pull my hair out at those people, and I would be like, why?
You know, so that's a good step right there. 401k. So I've got the means, right? I'm not saying me as an individual, me specifically. I'm just saying if I'm in that situation, I've got 401k. I don't have to go into credit card debt, but I do have the means there that I could pull out. You know, yeah, I'm going to be taxed and I'm going to be penalized for taking it out early, but it's there. It's right. Mine to use in this situation. Do you use or do you accept help?
Man, you know, this is such an individual decision, right? You know, so it's hard to say. It really is. There's no hard line, right? Because it's individual.
They're right or wrong necessarily.
Right. But this is my philosophy. Be it wrong, be it right, be it rogue. this is my take on it, right? If someone is offering, if you're not doing the asking, and if someone is offering to help, then take off your dadgum coat of pride and take the help.
Yeah.
Take it. Because they're offering and they're going to receive blessings and you're going to receive blessings. Just like the story that Kenny was talking about with jumping the battery. You know, and with the most sincere and humble heart that I can muster here, take off your coat of pride. If someone is offering, take the help before something happens. I mean, it's much easier to help someone. And Jackson, you know this as a bishop, whenever someone needed help, it was a lot easier to help someone when before everything became tragic, right?
Before they go over the waterfall?
Yes. Don't come to me when you're 3 months delinquent and you're about to get thrown out of your apartment or your house.
Right.
Come to me before that happens, right? As a bishop, I'm saying, come to me before that. Don't come to me when they're about ready to cut off your power because you haven't paid it for 5 months and you have all these late charges, because bishop don't pay late charges.
Right.
You know, don't wait until it's difficult. Come before so we can make a plan. And if the plan doesn't work, then we've got the means to help you with that so that the plan will work, right? So if this is the plan and this is what we're trying to do, but we need a little help along the way, that you got to take that help along the way. And, you know, we're all going to need it. We're all beggars, right? Kenny's quoted this before. We're all beggars. We all beg Jesus Christ for our forgiveness of our sins. All right. So, and we're commanded to help one another, and we can't help one another if we all refuse to receive the help.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good points. Good points.
That's right. And if we're hesitant to receive that help, it might
just means you're a good guy or a good gal, right?
Well, it might be a good idea to examine why, because you might not want to feel indebted to someone.
How about the $20 you owe me?
Oh yeah. Well, I only got 10, so here's 10. I owe you 10.
Thanks.
Hey Mo, you owe me 20.
Well, here's 10. I'll owe you 10.
You owe me 20.
Here's 10. I owe you 10.
Here's the 10 I owe you.
Here's the 10 I owe you.
Here's the 10 I owe you.
Good. Now we're all even.
For the record, so far the Lord has blessed us on this transition of, you know, career change. I say a career change. I'm still in the same field. I'm just doing it on my own. And everything. So
your independency.
My independence. That's right. That's right. I'm on my own independent. So yeah, the Lord has continued to bless us and everything. So, but I will remember the offer.
Hey, do you guys remember when you were baptized?
I do.
A lot of people, you were 12. Okay.
I was
8. A lot of people have warm and fuzzy memories of being baptized. Mine was kind of funny because when I was getting baptized by my dad, and he kept telling me, you know, to put my hand over my nose. Now, I knew how to hold my breath underwater without my fingers, without holding my nose. So I didn't think anything of it. But when you go backwards, it don't work. The water will come gushing in. And I came out of the water. Well, I was embarrassed because I didn't understand how that happened. I knew how to plug my nose, but I came out of the water coughing and everything. My dad never said, "I told you, son. I told you." But I was a little embarrassed. So any feelings of the Holy Ghost, I probably diminished those with my unwillingness to yield to my father's advice and hold my nose. He who knew more than I did, right? The learning experience.
That's funny.
What about you guys? What are your memories of being baptized?
I remember the first time I sinned right after I was baptized.
Oh, really?
Yep. That's what always come to my mind.
What did you do?
So,
are you asking him to confess, yeah. Kenny?
Yes, yeah, right, Kenny. It's just us here. You're among friends. You can share with us.
So right after I was baptized, whether it was my mom or me, probably me, I forgot to pack a dry pair of underwear. And so when I went in and drying off and everything, so I either had the choice of going commando or keeping my underwear on. But I decide for some reason I'm not gonna go commando, you know. So I dried my underwear the best I can, and cotton underwear is, you know, it's not gonna dry.
Holds that water. But
that's right, exactly. So anyway, so I put my pants on and I go back out and everything, and there is a ring around my way, all the way around, just wet, you know. And I never forget somebody asking me, "What? Did you keep your wet underwear on or something?" I'm like, "No, I just my pants fell on the floor." You know, so that was
a lie.
I told a lie. As soon as I come out in them waters, I was lying. So,
oh, yep,
just to save face, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my goodness. So Let's jump ahead to chapter 19.
Well, wait a minute, Kenny. What about your baptismal experience?
Oh gosh, I thought I could deflect.
You don't have to. You can deflect.
I don't. I actually don't remember a lot of details of it because I remember my mother and I were baptized together at the same time.
Oh, nice.
She, we discovered the church through Cub Scouts. She wanted me to be in Cub Scouts, and the only Cub Scout troop in our area was at the local LDS church. My mom knew absolutely nothing about Mormons. And I remember her saying that my dad saying something like, those people are crazy. They don't believe in, birthday parties, and they don't believe in singing, or like, it's all kind of weird stuff, you know? And, she was like, no, they like to sing and dance, and they have a good old time. They have dances all the time. As a matter of fact, she's like, no, they don't dance. Mormons don't dance. Like, so I don't know what he was thinking of, but
probably Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff, but yeah, we were baptized. I think it was the day before my 9th birthday, because I was just about to turn 9, and my mom wanted to go ahead and get me baptized before I turned 9, so I would be considered a child of record. Because after that, it would be a convert baptism.
Yeah. Well, that's special.
Yeah.
I used to say 8 is great, but 9 is fine.
That's right.
My wife was baptized same time as her mom. They joined the church at the same time. My wife, before we were married, of course, but she was 14 when she was baptized, my wife.
Very cool.
Yeah, I just like to hear people's baptismal stories. Sometimes everyone has a unique, different story, and I just think they're pretty cool.
There were a ton of people that getting baptized here with Alan, weren't they?
Oh yeah,
Waters of Mormon.
Uh huh.
Doing it secret.
Secret.
450 souls were baptized that day. 450.
Man, that's about the size of Hoboken, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of baptisms.
It really is quite the commitment. You know, these people are literally putting their lives on the line. Mm-hmm. You know, going into the waters of baptism. You know, I think the closest thing that I can relate to is knowing individuals that have basically died to their families. You know, because of being baptized into the church. And I don't know what it feels like, but I know that it has to be hard, has to be excruciatingly hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of people. I mean, we know people in our ward even that were pretty much disowned by their families and faced a lot of rejection and persecution to make the decision to be baptized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. 19. Just a little something that I found to be a little bit humorous. So the Lamanite women apparently were absolutely drop dead gorgeous. they had some gorgeous daughters.
That or either the guys were just been in the wilderness by themselves.
Long time.
So, 19 verse 11, it came to pass the king commanded them that all men should leave their wives and children and flee before the Lamanites. Now there were many that would not leave them, but had rather stay and perish with them. And the rest left their wives. So some of them left their wives and children and fled. And it came to pass that those who tarried with their wives and their children caused that their fair daughters should stand forth and plead with the Lamanites that they would not slay them. And then in verse 14, and it came to pass that the Lamanites had compassion on them, for they were charmed with the beauty of their women. So they're literally in battle, man. They are slinging steel, man. They're stabbing and slicing people. It's in the middle of a war, and they're like their daughters, like just go out there and just beg to not kill us. And apparently these drop dead gorgeous young women just walked out there, and they were just so charmed that they were like, okay, And therefore the Lamanites did spare their lives and took them captives and carried them back to the land of Nephi. So they're
like, yeah, I mean, kind of humorous, but I cannot imagine being one of those fathers and sending my daughters.
I don't think I could do it.
I don't Jackson, either.
I don't think, absolutely not. I'd be the one that stood in front of him, said, "Look, go ahead, kill me, but leave her alone." Right?
Yeah, yeah. That's a lot of faith and a lot of courage on everyone's part. On the part of the girls too, the women, like their fathers, you know, recommended them to plead on their behalf, but you know, they could have put up a fight and said, I'm not walking out there. They're going to kill me too.
Yeah.
You know, the girls took it upon themselves. They say, okay, we're going to step out and we're going to plead for the lives of our families. And it worked.
Because on the other side of that, you've got trying to put myself in their shoes, you know, they're getting beat. So they're trying to figure out a way to save their lives,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. So if the men go out, they know that they possibly lose, and then at that point, their women and children are lost to the Lamanites anyway,
right?
Yeah. True. Right. True. So they're saying, okay, I mean, chances are we're losing this battle, we're not winning, so we got to figure out a way. You know what? Let's ask our daughters to go out there and try and solve this situation. Tough, 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 man.
Mm-hmm.
And cannot imagine being placed with that choice.
No. And it may be because I think reading about the different wars that happened in the Book of Mormon, I remember that some of the stories when whoever was the author that was penning the manuscript at the time would emphasize when in those battles that the enemy was so bad that they were slaying even women and children. So it must have been that for the most part during their battles, women and children were spared. Right. Because otherwise they wouldn't
be captive. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Or they wouldn't have emphasized so much that during some of these atrocious battles that even women and children were not spared. So maybe they were counting on that. Okay. That, hey, you know, they're probably not going to kill them.
Right. Right.
So this is our only shot.
Yeah. And kind of the same. Got them the same around the same situation there when there was the quote unquote the misunderstanding where the priest of King Noah who had left followed King Noah into the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
right? They were among the ones that had left, and in this battle that you're talking about, Kenny, that kind of come about there. It's a little different, but anyway, King Limhi's people were attacked by the Lamanites because they thought that King Limhi's people had broken the covenant that they had made and the truce that they had made. When in fact it was King Noah's people that had gone in there and spied on the daughters.
Yeah, the priests.
It was the priest and ended up kidnapping them.
Yeah, kidnapped 24, 26 yeah, girls.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And rather than go and knock on the door and say, "Hey, our daughters are missing. Do you have anything to do with it?" They had just immediately attacked, assuming that King Limhi's people had broken the truce that they had. And they talked about, says that this war exceedingly sore, for they fought like lions for their prey. It came to pass that the people of Limhi began to drive the Lamanites before them, yet they were not half so numerous as the Lamanites, but they fought for their lives and for their wives and for their children. Therefore, they exerted themselves, and like dragons did they fight. So huge, huge battle that had taken place. And the king of the Lamanites was in on the battle. They find him out there on the battlefield, half dead, and they end up bringing him forth to King Limhi, and that's when all that is kind of cleared up. And it's like, man, all of this that could have been prevented with just some basic communication,
mm-hmm.
right? And what a lesson that is for us.
And that says a lot there too, man. That they left their king on the battlefield. Who does right. that? Apparently, he was not very well loved by the people.
No, well, yeah. Well, most of those kings aren't.
Yeah. And how ironic was it that King Noah died by fire?
Yeah. That was the karma I was talking about before before we started recording. Mm-hmm. But the lesson that I take away is hard conversations are sometimes needed, and it's better to have that hard conversation rather than have years of battle.
Or just assume, right?
Or so, yeah, assumed battle, assumed differences, when you very well could be seeing the same thing, you're just seeing it from different angles, mm-hmm. right? And you're not seeing through the same lens. But through communication, we get that figured out and worked out versus fighting and assuming the other one has done something that hasn't necessarily been done.
True that. I remember going to a leadership conference, and this motivational speaker was talking to us, leadership speaker. He had two people up there, and he was holding a quarter. And one person was on side and one person was on the other. And they were told to describe what he was holding. Of course, one was describing the head and the other was describing the eagle on the back of the quarter, what we call tails. But they were both looking at the same thing, but different right. descriptions.
Right.
And, you know, another thing on the miscommunication that you were talking about, there's just, like you said before, Jackson, it was full of miscommunication. Even the people that followed King Noah got angry with him because they assumed that the king had a plan, and that so they were following him thinking that maybe they were going to go around back or whatever, and they were ready to come back and go fight. And when they found out the king was just abandoned everybody, they became furious with him, and that's when they put him to death. That was also a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Talk it out, man. Talk it out.
Good advice.
Yeah, got to have those difficult conversations.
Well, it's better than years and years of frustration or animosity. And most of the time when we're upset with someone, they have no idea that we're upset with them, or they have no idea why we're upset with them. Yeah. They don't even know what they did wrong, right?
Yeah.
So.
And they're just going about their day like, you know, yeah. nothing's wrong.
Yep. Yeah.
But I felt like the most important lessons really were the first few chapters there, about the united body, the those who chose to be baptized and how they were united in one purpose, gathering together, the organization of the church. You know, he called high priests, you know, one high priest for every 50 people, you know, so there was a very clear established hierarchy of responsibility in the, you know, for their spiritual well-being.
So every Sunday school class had 50 people in it, and they had one teacher.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Pretty good, pretty good. Yep. Well, we will bring this one to a close right here. All righty, till next time, y'all. Keep on striving. How much would y'all pay for something like this?
But wait, there's more.
Yeah, so when we eventually get our merch store going,
merch.
This might be one of them right here.
Awesome.
If I order today, do I get two for the same low, low price?
Possibly.
I doubt it.